So a quick announcement before the homily begins. This is my Sunday and Joshua's last Sunday here in Arizona before we return to Denver for our next year of seminary. So please do keep us in prayer, and please continue to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, especially from our parish. For your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So have you ever had a random and quite amazing conversation that you did not expect would happen? Perhaps elevator, escalator, after a meeting, before a meeting, something like that. Well, recently the Lord allowed me the grace to have such a random conversation with someone as I was awaiting my delicious food to come across the counter from In-N-Out. After initial introductions, the husband and wife and I began to delve deeply into a conversation on the spiritual life. And something I did not expect would happen, which would be something that made me stop and wanted to scream, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And the words were something like this: "The real life is one which must be lived from within. All that we experience, the government, business, our daily activities, the rush of taking care of a house, these are systems that must be lived in, but the real life is the interior life." Again, I wanted to jump up on the seat I was sitting on and just like shout, like, "You're not far." What a beautiful thought, what a beautiful gift. And this coming from someone so humble in his work that many would not count such wisdom to be from a construction worker. He got it. And this is the reality we find in today's Mass. For our Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. Nothing is earned. Everything is freely given with grateful hearts. So today, in the Gospel, we are continuing our journey with Jesus from the northern part of Israel down into Galilee, down into Jerusalem. This movement in St. Luke's Gospel is essential to understand because it means that he's going to Jerusalem, which means he's going to die. That's his whole point of setting his purpose and determined face toward Jerusalem. Which means everything he says at this point is colored by that intent. He teaches us what a disciple is in this moment, and how a disciple acts from love and confidence in the goodness of the Father, and how that love and goodness brings him to a watchful state, and hopefully a faithful state. Yet, this is more deep than just a simple elocution of you have to be a good steward, a good disciple. No, it's way more than that. If you were to hear this from a first century Jew's perspective, you think immediately of the Passover. Gird your loins. Be vigilant. In the Exodus, the Israelites, on preparing for the Passover, did not eat it sitting down. They ate it standing. With loins girt, which means their ankle-length robe, think of my alb, is now stuck in the rope belt I wear, so I can run if needed. They ate standing, with staff in hand, ready to flee at a moment's notice. And here, the expectation is not freedom from an oppressor such as Pharaoh from Egypt, but it's an expectation of a freedom for. A freedom to receive our Master's victorious return in the Gospel presented as a bridal procession. So a quick note on that. The groom would go and run to receive his bride from her house. And then his servants would go and set a meal prepared for him and his bride so that upon their return, upon their arrival, everything would be ready. Now, they don't know when he's going to return, so they have to have an all-night vigil ready to receive him. And when indeed the master does come back and he sees the servants, perhaps in the second or third watch of night, 12 midnight or 3 a.m., ready to receive him. His heart is so overcome with love and joy that he actually says, no, you sit down. I am going to gird myself with an apron, and I'm going to serve on you. I'm going to wait on you. The freedom is found again, not so much from an oppressor, but for the true master of our hearts. And sadly enough, we encounter sometimes servants and stewards who, instead of being vigilant and waiting for their master, now arrive at their own desire for their own pleasure. Take what is the master's, eat, drink, get drunk, and beat the servants. No longer is this the steward or the servant that the master is pleased in, but he is now called unfaithful and unfit. So a side note, the fathers of the church have always read this as directed particularly to the clergy. I beg you to pray for the clergy, that we can be truly worthy of the name of faithful servants of Christ, giving the food at the proper time to his faithful, which is the hope found in store in the church and in the heart of Christ. So what is this victory? A bridal procession is a victorious march. It's a great and joyous day. What is this victory that one has found in the freedom of our master? It is the gift of the Father claiming us through Jesus Christ as his own. He is eager to free us from the slavery we daily experience, the false striving for perfection because we are afraid of loss. Now, that loss is not so much the loss of physical things, job, wealth, possessions. Those can cause anxiety, no doubt, but the true thing that we're afraid of is a loss of love, of intimacy with those we love, of our identity, of a home. So Jesus goes to win us for the Father and to process back to the Father with us in tow. The church also affirms this in the opening prayer this evening, the collect, which says and pleads to the one whom we dare to call our Father to bring to perfection in our hearts the spirit of adoption. Quite contrary to the experience the world would long to give us, our value is not determined by our performance, our grades, our production, but is determined by the free gift of the Father of his Son, offered as the new paschal lamb, the new Passover. And he wants us to be vigilant to receive this gift, to abandon all false striving. The question is, where does one act from? This false perfection, this striving for our own worth, arrives because we have believed to a certain extent and bought into the lie, you and me, that our worth is determined by our action. We do not have a father who longs to give us a kingdom, but one who longs to punish. Something like, you are the sum total of all of your failures, versus you are the beloved sons and daughters of God, worth the blood of Jesus Christ poured out upon the cross. The perfection of our hearts is truly found in Christ. We truly long to be made into his living image, because the hope that we experience in him, we long to give away. We find this by more deeply participating in his life, ergo receiving Holy Communion, faithfulness to the sacraments, coming to church. All of these things that we do for a purpose. It's not a mere rule. Therefore, we allow him to do his glorious work in us. And the vigilance that we are expected to have is so that we can be even more faithful, more ready to respond, more eager to respond. We have to read our experience of our daily lives in light of this fact so that we can be more sensitive to the workings of God as the day progresses, as the years progress. Like an artist, the Lord forms our life into the image of Jesus, molding us into a faithful image by our daily experience. But are we ready to receive that providence that he has planned out? Are we ready to cooperate with the grace he wants to give us? So let's get practical. I challenge you, 10 minutes before you go to bed, take 4 of those minutes, give praise and thanks to God for all of the good things that you have encountered in this day. Then beg for the light of the Holy Spirit, and then try to look at this day from his perspective. See how he's been working in your life to manifest the glory of his Son in you. See how he's called you to be a missionary for the church, a sign of hope and of witness. And then ask yourself the question, have I been faithful to what he's asked me to do? Or have I allowed myself to be a little unfaithful? We do not live in a mere system. We are freed from that system. But each experience, be it good or bad, is used by the Father to bring about more fully our adoption. Yes, we have a Father who longs to give us a kingdom, my brothers and sisters, the freedom of Jesus Christ in our daily lives, not something we're supposed to experience only on 1 hour on a Sunday. So place on the altar today your sonship and your daughterhood. Then as the Eucharist is consecrated, we can receive our Master more fruitfully into our hearts, and he will bring about the grace of adoption in us. No longer children of fear or slaves of fear, but truly children of God. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.